Hello, and welcome to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. While there, you can join in the conversation about this show. Just search for Built Different podcast in your internet browser. Here now is your host, Zach Clinton, on this edition of the Built Different podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to this week's edition of the Built Different podcast. Happy New Year, you guys. I hope you have started off the right way buying into the process here in 2022. I hope you've showed up at the gym. I hope you've been diving into God's Word, into the devotionals, reading books, doing things that are going to help and increase your holistic health. And guys, that's what we're bringing in today. We're bringing in an unbelievable powerhouse guest in Dr. Daniel Amen. I want to read a little bit about him. He is one of the leading psychiatrists, and in my opinion, he is one of the leading experts on brain health, not just in the United States, but in the entire world. He is a best-selling author, and he's best known for his SPECT imaging scans, which he'll dive into during our interview today. And you do not want to miss some of the amazing facts and the amazing tips and tactics that he's going to give us. But I want to talk a little bit about what he references when he says brain health. So Dr. Amen doesn't really like to say mental health, which I understand. I'm actually in what they call the mental health profession or the mental health field. But he doesn't like that word because he thinks it's very stigmatizing in the sense of nobody wants to be known as mental. Nobody wants that known as had a mental disorder, but everybody wants to increase brain health. And so that's why he says brain health throughout the interview. That's why he really dives into that fact, because he wants people to understand that it's okay to have struggles. We all have struggles going on upstairs. We all suffer some form or some measurement of anxiety, of trauma, depression. We all struggle within our brains. But what he wants to do is he wants to provide hope and encouragement to us in simple ways through the foods that we eat, through the things that we drink, through the things that we put in place into our minds that can actually help increase our brain health throughout this entire year of 2022. And there's some amazing things in research that he has done that he shares in and throughout this entire episode that I promise you guys, you need to pay attention to and not only listen to, but try to apply them to your daily life. Because I think holistic health is really important. And that's kind of why we started the podcast in the first place. We wanted people to grow physically, mentally, relationally, and spiritually as well. And I'm telling you guys, they're all interconnected. The spiritual piece, in our opinion, is the massive umbrella that everything falls in. We believe that if we were to compartmentalize those four facets of life, physical, mental, relational, and spiritual, that God should fall into all four of those boxes. He should be the big box that all four fall into. So when you hear more from Dr. Amen about brain health, just listen in and don't just hear, but I'm telling you, apply and see the good changes that can come and that you can do then to create within yourself a healthier mind and also a healthier brain. So without further ado, you guys, that powerful episode with Dr. Daniel Amen will be coming up right after this short break.
Want to learn more from Zach? You can invite him to speak at your next event. Zach travels all over the nation, inspiring leaders young and old, from students to athletes, military personnel, and more. Zach is passionate about challenging others to push past their limits and lead a built different life. To book Zach for your next event, you can visit zachclinton.com. That's zachclinton.com.
Welcome back to the Built Different podcast. Here's your host, Zach Clinton.
Dr. Amen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Zach. What a joy to be with you.
Seriously, what a joy it is. Here at the AACC Waymaker World Conference in Orlando, Florida, there's a buzz going around, a lot of positive energy out there, and it's a lot of fun. So just thank you for these next few moments to just share. Because, sir, you're one of the leading experts, one of the leading brain health experts in the world today, one of the leading psychiatrists out there, and you've really coined that term, brain health over mental health. Sir, why is that? And what's the difference, would you say?
I hate the term mental illness. I hate it. I've hated it ever since I was a medical student and I decided to be a psychiatrist because I knew it shamed people. It stigmatizes people and it's wrong. These are brain health issues that steal people's minds. Get your brain right and your mind is so much better. And it really takes psychiatry out of the dark ages of making diagnoses based on symptom clusters with no biological information and makes it a cutting edge medical specialty. No one wants a mental illness. Everybody wants a better brain. So we need to break the paradigm and come up with something that people want to embrace. And one of my big goals in life is making brain health cool.
Well, I love that. And I think you've done a very good job at that because like you're saying, nobody wants to have a mental illness. Everybody wants to have a better brain. That's a great way of phrasing it. Sir, the next question I really want to dive into is you're pretty much saying then that having a healthy brain is going to actually help give somebody an overall healthy life. Is that correct?
When your brain is healthy,
yeah,
you're happier. You're healthier because you make better decisions. You're wealthier because you make better decisions. Your relationships are better. When your brain is not healthy, for whatever reason, traumatic brain injury, toxic exposure, your parents fed you basically a fast food diet when you were growing up. You're sadder, sicker, poorer. Your relationships aren't as good and you're not as successful. So I was blessed. I got to scan Tony Robbins, who you know is like our generation's success guru. And we did a Facebook Live together and I said, you teach software, but you have to have hardware that will run it. You actually have to have a healthy brain so you can run the programs, whether it's Tony Robbins programs or psychotherapy, whatever. Your brain controls everything. And when it works right, you work right. And when it doesn't, you don't.
Like you're saying, the brain really does control everything. And I love that you mentioned the scans. You mentioned Tony Robbins. You've done scans to a lot of different people. And what you're really talking about is your SPECT scans. And sir, can you help our listeners really understand what is a SPECT scan, to be honest with you, but also, you know, help us understand maybe some things that you've found out and like some surprising things that you've seen when doing these on tons of individuals across the world.
So SPECT stands for single photon emission computed tomography. It's a nuclear medicine study that looks at blood flow and activity. It looks at how your brain works. And it basically shows us three things: good activity, too little, or too much. We see too little in things like traumatic brain injuries or ADD, too much in people who have obsessive compulsive disorder. We've done 190,000 scans on people from 155 countries. So when we look at a scan at one of our 10 clinics, we have sort of a good idea what it means. And the big lessons, surprising lessons. I'm a double board certified psychiatrist. I trained at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center in Washington, D.C., and I had no clue. Mild traumatic brain injury is a major cause of psychiatric problems, and nobody knows about it because psychologists, psychiatrists, family doctors, they never look at the brain before they go, oh, you're depressed, take Lexapro. And I had no idea that things like mold exposure can damage the brain, or infections like Lyme disease, or now I know COVID-19 is really bad for the brain. So you could go, well, does he have a bad attitude or does he have a brain that's struggling? And it's really easy to call people bad. But after you've seen 190,000 scans, you want to know why. What is going on in the brain that is causing this person not to function?
So as we continue to dive deeper into that, looking at the functioning of the brain, why is somebody acting this way? What's wrong with their brain, Like, what is the good versus the bad here? You know, what are some of the differences maybe that you see with somebody that's struggling with mental health as opposed to somebody that's not really struggling with mental health when you read one of those scans?
Well, see, I'm not even a big fan of the term mental health.
Right.
Because it implies it's your attitude. It's your choice. And now, if somebody's got a beautiful brain,
right,
they can still have a bad attitude.
Right?
It's
right.
not
That's
all
right.
brain. There is some level of responsibility.
Level, yeah.
But how would you know
right.
if you didn't look? So, right. for example, my 9-year-old nephew attacked a little girl on the baseball field for no reason, out of the blue. When his mother went into his room that day, she found pictures of him, pictures he had drawn of him shooting other children, hanging from a tree. Now, on the surface, you go, well, he's a bad boy, and probably there's bad parenting. When I scanned him, he had a cyst the size of a golf ball occupying the space of his left temporal lobe, an area we know involved in violence. So is he a bad boy? Easy to call people bad. Harder to go, why? And when they drained the cyst, his behavior completely went back to normal. And that was the story, really, that just hooked me. If you don't look, you don't know. We need to get serious about changing this profession.
Right. And really looking at a person's brain and really studying their brain and how that can actually alter someone's behavior then. It's crazy. It's fascinating stuff as you talk about it and just learning from you from years past. You know, sir, as we keep talking, there's this big thing in our culture and our society today that's built around this concept of positive thinking. I know you, Dr. Ammon, you're not an advocate of positive thinking, but one thing that you can speak into, what is the difference, do you think, between positive thinking and what you describe as killing the ants?
So I'm a very positive person.
Yeah.
In fact, my wife, Tana, would say, I have Mickey and Minnie doing the waltz in my head. But I'm not a fan of positive thinking. Positive thinking is I can have this third beer and it won't hurt me. Or I can smoke marijuana every day and it won't have a negative impact on me. I'm a fan of accurate thinking.
I
love John 8:32, know the truth. And the truth will set you free.
That's right.
Now, let's put a positive spin on it if you can. I start every day with today is going to be a great day.
Right.
And I end every day with what went well today. But we live in a society of fractured, undisciplined minds. And you just see it. You just have to turn on the news and people are screaming at each other. And we're not good thinkers in America. And a long time ago, I coined the term ants, automatic negative thoughts, the thoughts that come into your mind automatically and ruin your day. And you just, you know, they should have taught you in second grade, you do not have to believe every stupid thing you think. Thoughts come from all over the place. They come from our ancestors. They come from the voices of our parents. They come from the news we watch or the music we listen to. They come from your friends and your foes. Just because you have a thought has nothing to do with whether or not it's true. And it's not the thoughts you have that make you suffer. I have all sorts of crazy thoughts. It's the thoughts you attach to. And so learning, is this helpful? Is this productive? Versus, oh, I feel less than other people, which is one of the most common thoughts today.
Right. And I love what you're saying, because that positive thinking piece then can become very inaccurate, like you're saying, but then reframing it from positive thoughts to accurate thoughts. And that's the most important piece that people really need to understand and press into. Dr. Ammon, you've written several books, but your most recent is titled Your Brain is Always Listening: Tame the Hidden Dragons That Control Your Happiness, Your Habits, and Your Hang-Ups. Dr. Ammon, what's at the heart of that book? And what do you want people, the listeners today that are going to go and read that book, what do you want them to take away the most?
Well, we might say what's at the brain of that book.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Given you can transplant your heart and still be you, but you can't transplant your brain, you'll be somebody else if we ever get to do that. I love Your Brain is Always Listening.
It's divided into five parts because your brain is. It's always listening to the news. It's always listening to social media. It's listening to the food you eat because food is information. And I love the analogy of dragons. Actually borrowed it from my friend, Dr. Sharon May.
Yeah.
And she talked about how the dragons from the past are ruining relationships.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, let's define the dragons. So there's 13 dragons from the past. And the pandemic's made all of them agitated and out of control. So, for example, there's the death dragon, which so many people, they've never positively wrestled with the death dragon. When I was in college, I took a death and dying class, and I had to write my own funeral. And I realized if you live knowing there's an end, you're going to live better.
That's right.
In fact, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote, it is partially the denial of death that causes people to live empty, meaningless lives. Because when you think you're going to live forever, you don't take care of the relationships you need to take care of today. So the death dragon is even going after children because, you know, when you watch the news and the death numbers, it's frightening.
It is.
The grief and loss dragon's everywhere. Like during early in the pandemic, I lost my dad. So while I was writing this section on grief. So from a very personal, or the anxious dragon, or the should and shaming dragon, so common in the Christian community that people try to control other people by making them feel bad. And each of the dragons have strategies. So I want you to get rid of should and go, well, do I want to?
Right.
Or does it fit my goals too? And so many people have never really defined what they want in their lives, relationships, work, money, physical, emotional, spiritual, health. But you have to do that. And then your brain will sort of take over and make it happen.
That's right.
But if you never visualize it in detail, your brain has no idea what to do and it'll just continue in a way that might not be useful for you.
Yeah. I love what you're talking about with the dragon too, because even spiritually speaking, you know, I think Satan would love nothing more than to attack your brain when it comes to the lies that he implants, when it comes to the dragons that he places that breathe the fire into you. Like you talked about, the death dragon, the anxious dragon, all these different things, because like you said, it's a constant flowing type of thing. Am I right?
And the ants feed the dragons.
Exactly.
Or the more negative thoughts you have. My favorite dragon of all of them is the ancestral dragon, where the issues you have aren't yours, that they came from another generation.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, no, there's a lot you can
do
about it.
Exactly. No, but that's the lie.
But it's knowing that it's there. So, for example, before the pandemic, my wife had a pandemic room, and we used to fight about it. I'm like, we live in Newport Beach. When is there not going to be toilet paper on the shelves? And if you know her history, she has a wonderful new book called The Relentless Courage of a Scared Child. And in it, she talks about her grandmother who grew up in what is now Lebanon during World War One, during the Great Famine. And Abla was lost in the woods for 3 days. So, and she lived her whole life with post-traumatic stress disorder. So that changed her genes. There's a process we know called epigenetics where your habits, your experiences turn on or off certain genes. So it actually, the trauma got written in her genetic code, passed to her mother, and then to Tana from her grandmother. And so the prepper in her comes from real experiences, but it's not hers.
Right.
It's from another generation. So knowing your family history and though what good things can I take from them and what things do I need to let go is really helpful.
Yeah, that's great because I know there's somebody out there listening today that probably struggles with that one a lot and doesn't know or feels trapped in that lie of, well, there's nothing I can do about it. But like you're saying, there's so much more that you can do about it and you can control this. Dr. Amen, you know, this, I feel like I could learn under you for my whole life. And I've just loved just these moments, just sitting here and taking notes and just hearing your brain and all the amazing things that you've done when it comes to research and whatnot. But, you know, as we come to a close, there's somebody out there who's really struggling. And they're wondering, how do I get a better brain health hygiene? Sir, what would you say are just some practical tips or techniques or steps that they can be taking in their daily walk to get a healthier brain?
So I think brain health is three things. Mm-hmm. Brain envy, you got to care about it. Yeah. I always say Freud was wrong.
Yeah.
It's the envy part he talked about was 2.5 feet too low in the body. It's your brain. It controls everything. So love your brain. And then avoid anything that hurts it. You just have to know the list.
That's right.
And most second graders would get 95% of the list right.
Right.
Actually, when my daughter was in second grade, I went to her class and I wrote 20 things on the board.
Right.
And I said, you separate them, which are not good for your brain and which are good for your brain. And so you put football, everybody put it on the bad thing
right.
for your brain, right? It's not a big secret.
Yes.
Or alcohol, bad for your brain. Sugar, second grade, they got bad for your brain. Marijuana, and this is a big controversy in our society.
Yes.
But the second graders got it right. It's bad for your brain.
That's right.
The only thing they missed was orange juice because they put that in the good section. But whenever you unwrap sugar from its fiber source, it actually turns toxic in your body. So fruit juice, bad for your brain. And what's good for your brain, think exercise.
Yep.
Not believing every stupid thing you think. I think everybody should take a multiple vitamin and high-dose, high-quality fish oil. Probably everybody should take vitamin D, especially in pandemic times, because it strengthens your immunity. You need to think about what you eat. I love this phrase. I coined it a couple of years ago, and I just love it so much. You only want to love food that loves you back, that you're in a relationship.
That's right.
With food. And I don't know if you've ever been in a bad relationship. Before Tana, I was in a bad relationship.
I have been, yes.
And I'm not doing it anymore. I just turned 67. No, I'm not doing this, right? I'm married to my best friend.
That's right.
And I work on that relationship. Well, I'm for certain not doing it with food. I am not going to be in an abusive relationship with food. I'm only going to love food that loves me back. So think colorful fruits and vegetables. There's a linear correlation between the number of fruits and vegetables you eat a day and your level of happiness. And you have to avoid being diabetic or pre-diabetic at all costs because it shrinks your brain. And so there's something called the glycemic index. How quickly does food turn to sugar? Avoid high glycemic foods and never go on a low fat diet because 60% of the solid weight of your brain is fat. Someone calls you a fathead, say thank you.
Man, that is just powerful stuff, Dr. Amen. And I challenge all of our listeners, make sure you go and take these helpful tools and techniques that Dr. Amen's giving us, because this is literally the leading expert on brain health in America today and one of the leading experts in the world. So just thank you so much for those helpful tips and techniques for all of us to listen to. But sir, just in closing, I wanted to ask you before we go, where can our listeners go to find out more about you, Amen Clinics, all that you're doing, all the research that you're finding on brain health? Where can we go to find out more?
So you can go to amenclinics.com. So Amen, like the last word in a prayer.
Yep.
Imagine growing up with that last name. AmenClinics.com. They can go to Amen University and see all the resources we have for education. Tana and I do a podcast called The Brain Warrior's Way. They can go to BrainWarriorsWayPodcast.com and either follow Tana and I on Instagram, TikTok now, and all sorts of places. And I want the listeners to help me make brain health cool.
That's right.
Because that is how we'll end mental illness.
And brain health is very cool. Dr. Amen, thank you so much for your time. I know you're a busy man running around, but thank you for joining us today and all that you're doing to continually help and serve, and your willingness to serve other individuals who are struggling in their own daily life. You're actually giving them a voice and you're helping them so, so much. So thank you for what you do.
Thanks, Zach.
Man, everybody, what a powerful episode. And how cool was that, learning from one of the leading psychiatrists and one of the leading experts on brain health in the entire world? I'm telling you guys, he shared just some little things that I wrote down and that I've been trying to instill within my own life. And let me tell you, they actually have made significant differences when it comes to focus and concentration, when it comes to, I think, being able to be more clear-minded and less anxious for certain reasons. I may not know or understand why, but Dr. Amen does, and that's why he shares them with us. And I'm telling you guys, they do help, and they can really benefit us in our daily lives if we choose to apply them to it. I want to end this way because I think there's tons of different verses, and we all struggle, right, when it comes to brain health, when it comes to different things that we allow into our mind, such as fear or anxiety, and we struggle with different areas, right? And so what I want to do is I want to read some verses to you today that can just bring a sense of peace. I know they do within me, especially sometimes when I struggle, when I feel anxious, or when I don't feel always the best, or maybe when I'm really, really sad. I don't know if you're out there and you're struggling through something and you just feel like you're losing the war within your mind. But I just want to read some of these verses that can maybe bring some hope or spark some encouragement in your life today. So Jeremiah 29:11 is a very well-known verse. For me, one of my greatest fears that I allow into my life and what makes me very anxious at times is the fear of the unknown, the fear of not knowing what's going to come next. I love to have my plans in order or in step, right? I love to know what's coming next. I don't want to be surprised. But sometimes, I'm telling you, God asks us to trust Him. God asks us to be open-handed, to be in surrender, living in a posture of surrender to Him, to say, you know what, God, I want you to lead and guide and direct my steps. I don't have to do everything on my own because I can't, and I need you, and I need your help. I know we live in a world that preaches independency, but hear me, God preaches dependency. It's very countercultural, but that's what Christianity is. God wants us to be dependent on Him and to say, son or daughter, you are broken. You cannot do this on your own, but I am here to help you overcome, to help you endure, and to be with you every step of the way. You're never alone. So Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. God has our plans already in order. Before you were even born, He knew you by name. He knew the amount of hairs that you would grow on your head. He knew what you would accomplish in His name. Yes, He gave us the gift of free will, which is a gift. And some of us, we abuse that gift. But let me tell you something, He sticks closer than a brother. Let's read another one. Philippians 4:9. It really has to deal with anxiety and letting negative thoughts into our life. What God clearly states are these words. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Okay, so what we call this in sports psychology, right, are white moments. What's the last good thing that has happened to you? What's the last thing that, man, when you stepped up to the plate, you're not thinking about striking out anymore. Let's think about the last time you got that hit or that last time you hit that home run and you felt on top of the world. Let's bring back a white moment. Some of you out there today, you may feel stuck mentally. You may feel like, man, I can't even think back to the last thing that happened that was good to me. But I challenge you today to dive back in and rest in God's truths, to rest in His promises, to rest in your identity found in Him. But think back on something that you're thankful for. One of my favorite quotes I've shared it time and time again throughout the podcast is a woman named Nancy Lee DeMoss. She wrote a quote that said, I have learned that in all areas or circumstances in my life that may come my way, I can do one of two things. I can whine or I can worship, and it is impossible to worship without giving thanks. We have so much to be thankful for. We are so blessed. I know that what you may be going through right now does not look like a blessing, and it does not look fun, and it is not easy. but I'm challenge you to get outside of yourself, to really try to take a step back and say, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank the Lord for something today, because when you choose to live in a posture of worship, which is impossible without giving thanks, I'm telling you guys, it makes all the difference. So live in those good white moments. And then my last piece that I want to share is one of my favorite passages really in scripture. It's found in Isaiah 43. It's just the first two verses. I actually read Isaiah 43:1 to my wife in our wedding vows. And it says this, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And verse 2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you or set you ablaze." You guys, I don't know what you may be walking through in life. I don't know how dark maybe you are upstairs mentally. I don't know. Sometimes, man, it gets really hard. It gets really, really hard because our mind is such a powerful place. My dad always says this, the mind can be the most beautiful and creative space in all the world, but it can also be the most dangerous and scary and dark place in all the world too. Some of you listening, you might be listening to the lies, right? You might be going through a lot of pain. You might not just be listening to the lies, you may be believing them. But I want to challenge you to hear those words one more time. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Or in other words, I have chosen you and I have paid the price for you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And verse 2 pretty much summed up says, and no matter what you go through, I will be with you. And if you call on my name, I'm right there. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I challenge you guys today at the beginning of a new year to continually draw near to God, to place your thoughts on him. Let him be those white moments for you and let him remind you of who you are, right? Because of whose you are. We love you guys. We hope you're having a great start to the new year. As always, thank you so much for joining us and we'll see you next time on the Built Different podcast.
Hi there, this is Jessica from the Built Different podcast team. As a reminder, you can listen to this show on your favorite podcasting platforms, such as Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Stitcher. Whatever platform you choose, please remember to subscribe to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Also, if you happen to catch the show on Apple Podcast, please leave us a review. Thanks again for tuning in to the Built Different podcast.